Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So as a Lutheran congregation, we follow the lectionary. And it's just a fancy way of saying that there are 3 years of already identified scripture that will happen. And it follows year A, year B, year C, year A being the book of Matthew, year B being the book of Mark, year C being the book of Luke, which is the year that we're in. And I say this because as pastors, when you don't follow the lectionary, that means you just kind of want to choose the scripture that you like, right? You don't want to preach on the hard ones. So last week, we had pastor assistant to the bishop, the Reverend Heather Eliatine, with us. And he got the fun part of the scripture, right? He got the fun part where Jesus goes back to his hometown. He had been baptized in the wilderness. He went out for 40 days, right? And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes back to his hometown to give his very first sermon. And what is it that is said? It was, Jesus returns, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He is handed the scroll of Isaiah. He opens it up. He reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. The time of the Lord's favor has come." And then what does Jesus say? "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." Period. End. Great. How great is that news? I mean, these folks haven't heard from God in 400 years. 400 years. We studied in Bible study the book of Malachi. That was it. That was the last time. When you will hear from me again, I will deliver you. That deliverance will come through a prophet who will be like Elijah, the one who calls out in the wilderness. And there's nothing for 400 years. And here comes Jesus into his hometown church, opens it up and says, "Here I am." That is fantastic news. Because just prior to that, when Jesus was baptized by John, John was the one in the wilderness who was like the Elijah figure. So they knew that God was speaking to them again. Wonderful. Pastor Heather had a great sermon last week, didn't he? He did. Yes, thank you. Sorry, I jumped to the next one. Pastor Marianne's piece this week is not so easy. And if you thought it was easy because you didn't really understand, right, because it is hard to understand what the heck Jesus is saying there, I'm going to interpret for you what Jesus said. We're not going to go to the next one yet. Ken, I'll give you the when it's time for you to go. I don't want to give it away yet. Jesus opens, right, in our scripture, so it's really one full, but it kind of gets chunked up. "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." So Jesus is telling the people in the synagogue that day that he is the one. He is the long-awaited Messiah, and they are amazed by these gracious words that he speaks. And they start to question. Now, we could think they're questioning, like, really, seriously? I mean, isn't this Joseph's son? But they're questioning and wondering and amazed, but this is Joseph's son, right? Because they see him as a human. They don't see him as God incarnate, like we understand Jesus to be. So while they're questioning, Ken, you can go to the slide. They are also saying, "Oh my gosh, this is for us today." It's like they're saying, "Yay, we've been waiting for this day." There's a song, "We've been waiting for this day, and here it is. The promise, the long-awaited Savior is here now for us." This is good news. As a matter of fact, it's great news. It's incredible news. This incredible, great, good news is standing right before them. The one, the Messiah, who will bring freedom, healing, and wholeness for us right now. Next slide. Justice will prevail. Finally, for us. We have waited so long, and God has not forgotten us. And aren't we the most blessed? Because Jesus is one of us. He's one of ours. He grew up right here in Nazareth. He's the hometown boy, right? It's like the hometown hero, the hometown savior, raised in our community, our town. We could go on to say our county if it was today. He's a Port St. Lucie boy. Our state, he's from Florida. Our country, he's from the U.S., for goodness sake. So doesn't that mean we get preferential treatment? After all, he's one of us. And that promised healing and wholeness, etc., everything we're going to get, it's ours first. Because that's the fair way to do it, right? That's the just way to do it. Us first. It's what we would expect. But what does Jesus say? Ken? Not. I mean, really? Here they are. They're all amazed. They're one, you know, I want you to put yourself there. Or I want you to think about it. Right. Jesus says, not. Not what you are thinking. Not what you are expecting. And he shares two stories with them, and these stories hurt them, as they would us when we begin to understand what Jesus is saying. You see, Elijah, who was a prophet, and by the way, prophets, nobody wants to be a prophet. You don't go and bring good news. You bring news that says, you better change or else. That's how God spoke to the people. Right? Nobody wanted to be a prophet. I mean, they all ran. Elijah ran. They all ran. So, in the northern kingdom, Elijah is sent during a time of famine, 3.5 years. The Israelites are starving and dying, as are all the people in the surrounding countries. Who does God send Elijah to? A widow and her son. Not an Israelite woman and her son. God sends Elijah to a foreigner to feed this woman and her son, to do the very first miracle that Elijah will do, not to the ones they were expecting. So this is like rubbing salt in the wound, because what Jesus is saying is Elijah was sent to the foreigner to save her and her son. And oh, by the way, Elisha, in case that's not bad enough, how about Elisha when there was leprosy that broke out? Who did God send Elisha the prophet to go to? The enemy. Naaman was in charge of the army of Syria, the enemy. All the Israelites are breaking out from leprosy. But who does God send Elisha, the prophet, to go and heal? The soldier, the one in charge of the army of the enemy. Now, that is what incites the people. That's what incites them. Because they're sitting there saying, this is all for us, because we have a just God, and we're going to come first, and blah, blah, blah. And what does Jesus say? Just the opposite of what they were expecting. And it gets them so crazy. I mean, you could honestly say it sets them over the edge. So they said, we're not going to go over the edge. We're sending you over the edge, Jesus. And they chase him out and want to throw him over the edge because they don't want to hear what he has to say to them.
So I'm curious.
How would we react today? You see, I got the one in which it's a tough gospel lesson. How would we react? How do we react? My first reaction when I said, oh my gosh, I have to preach on this, I'm picking another. I'm just going to pick another. Let's just forget this one. And then I said, no, God is saying there's a message for us, for all of us, including me. You know, we tend to think that Jesus' forgiveness and healing and saving and redeeming and provision is just for us. Just us and us alone. That we deserve it. That we should be the first in line. Because, my goodness, we've been faithful. So we've been faithful, Jesus. You need to be just and faithful and take care of us. The fair thing on your part is to pour out your grace on us and not them. But Jesus, who is God incarnate, tells them and tells us the hard truth. We say it, but do we really understand it? We recite John 3:16, for God came for the entire world, for everyone. But do we really understand what that means? God comes, came for all, and not just us. You can flip to the next one. You see, God does the choosing, not us. And God chooses, not just us. God doesn't operate on a merit system. We say God's grace is for everyone, but then we act as if, well, I don't know if you deserve it. What have you done today? I show up for church every Sunday, for goodness sake, but what have you done? When we really think about God's unconditional grace, it really is offensive to us. It's hard for us to really understand it. And that's what Jesus is telling them, and that's what Jesus is telling us today. Everyone is given God's grace. Everyone. There are no boundaries, there are no borders, there are no walls. If this were Jesus here today with us, he might be saying this to us. Now, don't throw me over a cliff, because I'm not Jesus. Jesus might say, I'm going to the families in Central America. I'm going to feed them, heal them, comfort them, and set them free from the violence in their countries. I'm going to give beautiful palaces like you've never, ever seen before to all the homeless who are in your community and living on the streets and in the woods. I'm going to release those who are captive to drugs and alcohol. I am going to those who are trapped in minimum wage jobs. They will never have to work again. I am going to those who have been persecuted and judged because of the color of their skin, and I will lift them up. This is hard stuff for us to hear. God has no boundaries, no borders, no walls. And so what we need to do, and we need to work hard on this, and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us and open up our minds. We need to drop the boundaries, the borders, and the walls that keep our hearts hardened, that keep us captive, that keep us blind. When we drop those borders that separate, then we can begin to see and to understand God's grace and righteousness. Not our grace and righteousness, not the way we think God should act, but to truly see, unblinded, God's grace and righteousness. Because when we love as God in Christ loves us, then we can live into the truth of God. And that truth is pure love. At that time, we'll really know it's not just us. Us is them, and them is us. It's all. Unlimited grace is really hard for us to grasp and to accept. But as we come to understand it, it's offensive to us. But that's where the freedom comes. That's where the freedom comes. That's where we drop the conditions we put on God, and we can begin to see and live into the freedom as God sees it. Question I have for all of us, including me, is, are we open to sharing the depth and the breadth of God's grace, God's promise? Because when we are, then we will be able to truly receive God's grace and God's promise. And we will be set free to love truly like Christ. When we reach across the boundaries that we set and understand, we truly become Christ-like. And we recognize that it's not just us. Amen. Amen.